Bing. Hello, welcome everybody. Hang on, we're still getting chimes. Let me turn this. So, hello everybody. Welcome to the kickoff call, the setup call, call number one for the truth about sales. I'd like to welcome you all, and congratulations for signing up on this. I'd like to start by saying, welcome to the great men and women of the future. Now, I say of the future because it's my belief that most of us haven't fulfilled our contribution to mankind yet. And it's my intention that by empowering you with these tools and by enrolling you into this process of a deep way of connecting with people and a way of facilitating a communication, that you will then be empowered to have your goals and dreams come true. And funny thing, I've asked hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people this question over the years. What would you do if you had $50 million or $100 million? What would you do with yourself? And not ironically, every single person eventually came to the same answer. And, you know, after they said, I'll pay off my house and buy some stuff, and I'll buy stuff for my friends, and I'll set up a retirement portfolio. And once their needs were covered, every single person, no exceptions, came to the same conclusion. And that conclusion was, I want to help people. I want to make a difference in the world. So it's my intention to use the tools in this course to empower you to make that come true. So I'd like to start by saying I can't promise you that everything in this course is, that learning this material is going to be easy, nor will it be automatic. I like to say you can watch all the Bruce Lee movies in the world. It doesn't make you a black belt. That takes practice and effort and training. What I can promise you is that when you are willing to absolutely commit to this training, I promise you will have a breakthrough in your ability to communicate with other people, in your ability to inspire other people to work with you, and in how you show up in all the relationships of your life. You're going to be adopting a whole new realm of communication, and we're going to start and jump in today. I do have some admin and some things I'd like to share and some setup to make sure that you're all on the same page and we're all empowered and we know how to participate and share and connect. And we have, this is not an admin call. We have a bunch of work to cover and exercises to do and some fun things like that. So let me start by giving you a little bit of context, and then we'll get a little bit of admin out of the way. And then we'll just jump in a few minutes. We'll just jump in and roll up our sleeves, and we'll get to the good stuff. So a context I'd like to share is from one of my favorite quotes, and sadly I don't know who wrote it. The quote is that words are spoken by the listener. What the heck does that mean? Well, consider that we get upset if somebody breaks our trust or maybe if they misunderstand us. Yet the problem that we have is that we tend to assume that whatever we say is perfectly understood and perfectly projected, reflecting our thoughts and feelings in fine precision. Yet the truth is that words are complex and arbitrary, the relative and their symbolic types of communication. And each of us has a different definition based on our own unique experience with that word. So even though you might provide the words, the listener always provides the definitions. So an example of that is, what do you think of when you hear the word love? Well, you think of your experiences of love or lack of love. What do you think of when you, what comes to mind when you think of the word beauty? Well, we all have a different perception of that. So what do you think is beautiful? Well, there happens to be a tribe in Africa called the Mercy Tribe, and they gauge their lips and their ears their ear piercings, and they put in bigger and bigger things. So they have these, like, you know, 5-inch wooden plates in their lip and in their ears. And they think the most beautiful woman in the tribe is the one with the biggest wooden plates in her ears and her lip. So there was a time in this country that beautiful was a size 8 or a size 10 for a woman. And now in this country, we think beautiful is like a size 2. So beauty is transient. It's subjective. So the same thing goes, if that's the way we are with just one word, fun, love, beauty, then who gets to decide the meaning of a whole conversation? And how do we know the meaning of a conversation? And some, like, you might speak for an hour, and how do we know what they receive? Aren't they interpreting everything you say through their own filters? If you say, wow, this is going to be fun, and fun for you is stamp collecting, then, and they think this is going to be fun, they think skydiving. So there's a innate misunderstanding in most everything that we do and say. So how is it that we come to alignment? How is it that we realize that somebody understands us, or that we understand somebody else? Right, that's a process. We're going to be taking that on heavily in this workshop. And if the listener, whoever you're speaking to, if they're deciding and they're creating their own meaning, whatever you say, they're going to make it mean whatever they make it mean, then who's responsible for their experience? Well, technically, they are. I like to play the game that I'm responsible for their experience, too. It's not true. So who's responsible for my experience? Well, me again. The bigger question is, who gets to decide if you're having a good day or a bad day? Yeah, I don't know. You get to decide the meaning of things. A good friend of mine named Dave, who's actually on this call, recently got fired from his job. Dave's a sharp guy, makes good money, and he got fired, and it was a big deal. It was bad news, man. And within about a week, he had a better job at a better place, a company that said, we've been trying to get you for years. We're so excited you're available. Okay, so was that getting fired, was that a good thing or a bad thing? Right? You get to decide. You get to decide how that is. Another question for you to ponder. Have you ever gotten upset and then said something you didn't mean? Sure, most of us have. Well, if you didn't mean it, why did you say it? Well, consider also another perspective of this work. All people are doing the best they can in the moment based on their background, their education, and their beliefs. They're doing the best they can. So if somebody's being rude to you, it's the best they have. It's the best they have. Don't take it personal. Maybe they think protecting themselves from a polished salesperson is in their best interest, because of some past experiences. So one of the things that it's my intention to empower you in this course is that you are the creator of your experience. You are causing your wins. You are generating your lessons. Take on that everything that has happened to you in your life, in your business, everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, the neutral, everything, you caused it. I don't know if that's 100% true or not. What I do know is that adopting this belief that everything has happened because you've caused it, adopting this belief is the single most empowering place for you to stand. You stand in the place of, I did it, I caused it, I decide, it was my choice. I took this option, I didn't take that option. I made this decision a yes, I made that decision a no. You caused all of it. Standing in this place is so empowering. It's the only way out. All right. My notes say I should do a little admin. So let's get that out of the way. For those of you that are brand new, first of all, I'd like to say welcome, a special super welcome to those of you that are repeating, that have been here several times. It's always special to me when I have people come back over and over and over again, because you're participating at a higher level, you're asking bigger questions. I think it's those repeat people in this work that make this course so great, because the new people are going to get to hear examples of people that have done this work before, and your contribution is going to make a difference for all of them. I'd also like to say a special thank you for my good friends at Realty Executives. So super happy that you're here. I want you to play full out, and let's do some cool things together. All right, so I'm supposed to introduce myself. So for those of you that are new, my name is Joel Rico. I'm a real estate broker and a real estate investor. I'm a degreed design engineer, and I'm also a licensed hypnotist. I'm a certified trainer of transformational NLP and NDE, and I have a fairly unorthodox sense of adventure. I like to snowboard and surf and scuba dive and free dive and skydive and base jump. I parachute off buildings and cliffs. I ride motorcycles and mountain bikes and that kind of stuff. So what? Why would I share any of that with you? Because we're talking about, in addition to communication models, we're talking about sales, using these communication models in sales. And sales oftentimes comes down to a perspective. Is that expensive? I don't know. Is $100 a lot of money? I don't know. Are we talking about a hamburger or a Ferrari? So perspective is the key in sales. And I think all these crazy, nutty things that I've done have given me some really interesting perspectives. And I'll do my best to share those as we go through this course. Anyways, that aside, it's my intention to make a difference for you so that you can make a difference for others. I love the pay it forward game. But briefly, in my career as an engineer, besides engineering, I learned how engineers communicate. And engineers communicate very pragmatically. Like, think, and there's very little misunderstandings and almost no arguments between engineers. Think blueprints. They're clean, they're concise, they're efficient, they're documented. Very little to argue about. Now, as a hypnotist, I learned how to listen, pay attention, and to influence your unconscious mind, because the subconscious mind listens differently than the conscious mind. Now, together, these two styles, the engineering communication style and hypnosis communication style, together, these two styles create a whole new model of communication that will empower you to live a life of choice. So again, this curriculum is much like learning a new language, and sadly, there's no magic pill. Just like a pro athlete, you're embarking on a training protocol, and sadly, you're not going to get it all in one day. There's some things for you to unlearn. There's some new habits for you to build. And we all know the very best way to learn a new language is immersion. You want to learn how to speak Japanese? Go to Japan. You'll learn it quicker. So it's going to be my intention to overwhelm you. One of my intentions is to give you more than you can digest. That's on purpose. So if you're feeling at any point a little buried, a little overwhelmed, a little bit behind, good. Good. Know that that's when you're learning the fastest. And I'd like to say one other thing. If you go to Home Depot and you buy a hammer, who's responsible for the value that you get out of that hammer? Right? It could sit in a drawer and do nothing. Or you could use it to build a house. Or you could use it to crack somebody in the head that you don't like. Who's responsible for the value that you get from that hammer? Is it hammer worth $1 million because you built $1 million house with it? That's a stretch. But it's worth what you use it for. So the same thing is true with this class. I have lots and lots and lots of people that have come through this training with me, and many of them have doubled, tripled, quadrupled their sales volume. And sadly, some thought it got tough and they dropped out and they didn't quadruple their sales volume. So that's totally up to you. In this workshop, what may I be counted on for you? Well, number one is you can count on me to be here every time and on time and start on time and end on time. You can count on me to treat all of your questions with reverence and respect. There is no such thing as a dumb question. I can't guarantee I won't give you a dumb answer. There's no such thing as a dumb question. And you can also count on me to call you out if I hear any disempowering language. I hear you say things like, well, that's hard, or I'm not good at this. I'm going to call you out. Because every word you speak, every time you speak, especially when you're speaking to yourself, everything that comes out of your mouth, you're hypnotizing yourself. And if you say, oh, I'm not good at that, that's too hard, I'm no good, you're hypnotizing yourself. Your subconscious will eventually believe that. The reason why this course is called The Truth About Sales is because that's one of the truths about how human beings operate, and it's my intention to enlighten these processes so you can begin to use them for your advantage instead of for your suppression. What else? Please come find me on Facebook, just Joel Rico, and also The Truth About Sales. And feel free to send me whatever real estate referrals you have. I'm a real estate broker in Northern California. I predominantly like to buy fixers. So if you have fixers in Northern California, send them my way. I love them. All right, the end of the admin is less so today, much, much more so the other 11 calls. This is a participatory workshop. It is generated by you. A little bit later in this call, we're going to do an exercise, and I'll model it for you. And then your assignment is going to be to go do this exercise with some people in the world and see what you learn. And we're going to start call number two next week by you guys sharing, this is what I did, this is what I got, this is what I found. So the more that you personally participate, the faster you'll grow and the more that you will evolve. Again, this week has some extra admin, so bear with me. This week's not quite as interactive. We'll do Q&A a couple of times. And again, you watch all the Bruce Lee movies you want, does not make you a black belt. What will make you a black belt in this course is for you to wholeheartedly take on the exercises, especially when they're outside your comfort zone, right? That's where growth happens. That's why they call them growing pains, because you're outgrowing your old shell. When I ask you to take on an exercise and it's a little bit uncomfortable for you, my request is that you do one of two things. Either take it on outright, or if you have some weirdness about it, speak up and say, I feel a little uncomfortable with that. What's going on? And maybe I can walk you through where that's coming from and we can liberate you to take it on. So when I say play full out, what that means is that you do all the exercises and that you stay current with the class. Each week, the sessions are in order because they're in order for a reason, for a purpose, and each one builds on the last. And if you miss one, then the next one might feel a little weird. So the next one might not make sense to you. So it's imperative that you stay up and that you stay current. And just like riding a roller coaster, there's going to be some ups and downs. There's going to be some fun and some hill climbs. There's going to be some awesome stuff and some strenuous stuff, and it's all going to turn out awesome in the end. My recommendation, my request, is that you just don't get off in the middle. I don't want to leave you half-cooked. So part of this workshop for the next 12 weeks, part of this workshop is going to be learning some tools, learning some techniques, learning some new things, and part of this workshop is going to be deconstructing and unlearning some old things. So it's imperative that you do the whole thing. I don't want you to unlearn and not learn the new stuff. And conversely, I don't want you to learn a bunch of new stuff and superimpose them over the old stuff. That gets kind of weird and confusing. So as the recording said at the very beginning of the call, I did a soft mute on this line. What that means is I'm committed that everybody on this call has a good experience, so I mute the line so it's quiet and easy to talk, easy to manage. All of you have the power and are highly encouraged to ask questions. The way in which you ask questions in here is you unmute yourself. You do that by pressing *6 on your phone and pull you into the queue. And so that I know you're unmuted, especially when there's three or four of you asking questions at the same time, unmute *6 and then say your name. Otherwise, I get five people unmuting saying, "Hey, Joel, hey, Joel, hey, Joel," and I can't pick. So unmute and say your name. Unmute and say, "Fred Smith in Topeka, Kansas." And then we'll answer your question. When you're done with your question, pretty please, re-mute. Same thing, *6 again will re-mute your line. That way, your barking dog and getting pulled over for a speeding ticket and ordering your Frappuccino doesn't disrupt everybody else. So that's about that. And then last part of the admin, and we're back to work. Your sign up for the call was just for one person. So sales is an exercise, truly, in integrity. You will get over and over and over and over in this class. Tell people the truth. If you don't know, say, "I don't know." Don't lie. Most of us here, not all, most of us here are real estate agents, brokers. Never lie to your clients about the house value. Never. If you tell the client what they want to hear and you know in your heart it's not true, you're out of integrity, bad things are going to happen. You're going to have an upset client. You're going to have a listing that doesn't sell. Always be in integrity. Always tell the truth. And integrity starts here. So your sign-up was for one person. Please don't share your materials, your login information. Please don't give that to other people. Lastly, participate from a quiet place. I know from experience that the more you take this seriously, the more you'll get out of it. And I can't even begin to tell you the breakthroughs that have happened for people by doing this training. I've been teaching this work in various names, under various corporate labels, since about 2004. It's had several rewrites. It's had a couple of different corporate sponsors. It's been in my own company a few times. And every year, I'm just addicted to training. So I became a certified hypnotist 2 years ago. That wasn't in the original curriculum. This course is constantly evolving. And I can't even begin to tell you the breakthroughs that I've had and that some of my participants, like you, have had over the years. So the more serious you take it, the more you get out of it. So show up. Be prepared to learn. Be ready to question your dogma. Speak up if I say something that you think, "What? That's what? Speak up right now, right away. Call me out. If I say something that doesn't resonate with you, don't go away mad. We call it out. Let's straighten it out right then and there. I promise I'm going to challenge some of your beliefs. I promise. And when I do, you have two choices. You can You can hang on to your old belief and think I'm wrong. You're welcome to do that. I would encourage you to try on the new belief and see how it fits. Now, it's not going to shed your old belief. You have the choice. You have the choice to take on the new belief or keep the old belief. My request is that you simply try it on. That's it. Simply try it on. All right. That's enough of our admin. If you have a question, *6, jump in, ask me right now. And in light of any questions, I'm just going to keep ripping and get started. This first call, I always feel like it should be 2 hours because I have so much stuff to throw at you in the first call that I end up just going fast and try to get it all on your plate as quick as I can. I promise the other calls aren't so rushed and harried. They're much more discussion, participatory, response-based. In the realm of hypnosis, people listen in series models. Yes, I heard a question.
Okay, Joel, this is Douglas.
Hello, Douglas.
Hey. Joel, I wanted to ask you, will these calls be recorded? Would it be possible to listen to them over again?
Yes, they will. And everybody on this call, if you're registered for this call, you will get an email with a link to the recording, usually the next morning. Sometimes we get them out the night of, but usually you'll get it. So we're Wednesday. Usually you'll get this, the recording on Thursday morning, a link to the recording, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Doug.
And may I also say something real quick, Joel?
Real quick, please.
Real quick, okay. Everybody on this call, I took this course back in October and November, and I started in week 5, and it was absolutely life-changing all the way around. The most important thing to do is do the homework, because then it absorbs deep inside. It's powerful stuff. Thank you, Joel.
Yeah, thanks, Douglas. Yeah, I like to say all the time, you guys can listen to me blab on for an hour, but so what? That's not going to do much. Hopefully it'll give you a context, but the real magic comes from you doing the work. So the way, back to hypnosis and communication models and listening models, the way that human beings listen is we all listen differently. Some people, if they're maybe from New York, they talk really, really quick. This is how it is in New York. Come on, get in the car. Let's go. We got to get out of here. Come on, I'm going to hurry. Get in the car. And some people from the Deep South talk much slower. And some people, like my friend Dave, not the one on this call, a different friend Dave. Some people, like my friend Dave the mechanic, he talks really loud. He's partially deaf, and he's just got this gigantic voice. And so whenever I'm talking to Dave, we end up talking like this. We go have coffee, and everybody in the coffee shop hears what we're talking about because this is the way Dave communicates. And when my mother calls me, that's not how I talk to my mother. When my mother calls, I say, "Hi, Mom. Hey, how are you? Yeah, how's that knee doing?" Why do I talk differently to different people? Because that's how they listen. And we have, over time, over the course of our relationship, we've developed some rapport. And I know that's how they are. And so you're going to be hearing a lot about this word. What is rapport? By definition, what is rapport? Rapport is a state of being characterized by trust and responsiveness. This is what you have with your friends. When your friends call, you answer. When you get a call from an unlisted number, you let it go to voicemail. When your friends call, you go, "Hey, Steve, what's going on, bud? Nice to hear from you." Right? We have this thing with people we know and love and trust. And this thing, rapport, happens over time. Yet in the sales model, we don't always have time. Especially if you're doing, you know, cold lead gen, we have very little time. So what do we do about that? How do we create a space of trust and responsiveness? Quick, maybe instant, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. How do we do that? Well, we do it by listening. We listen to the client, and we fall in step. In here we call that mirror or match or get in rapport. We fall in step with the way in which the client communicates. Why? Because the customer's always right. And if the customer's a little old lady and she answers the phone like, "Yes, hello, can I help you?" And you say, "Hey, this is Fred Smith at ABC Realty, and I'm calling about the home good. We got special deals today. Let me tell you about our discount." There's no way she's even going to hear what you have to say. So even if you're calling, even if you're getting an answering machine, the answering machine will give you insight. Listen to the voice on the answer machine. Visualize who left that message. Don't make any assumptions. Yet listen, if they talk soft and slow and sweet, then you know, speak their language. People have what we call a listening context. They listen inside a certain frame. My dear friend Robin has a sharp reaction to the F word. And so if she's in a conversation with anybody and the person drops the F-bomb, she stops listening. She's done. So you probably shouldn't do that with her. And what happens when you're at an appointment and the customer starts dropping the F-bomb? Well, they just gave you permission. What did they do? They just told you this is part of their communication model. This is normal for them. This is the way they communicate. So you get to do it too. By the way, never be the first one to curse and always cuss a little bit less than them. But if that's the way they talk, then if they're cussing like a sailor and you're presenting like a Baptist minister, oh, pardon me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, sir. Wow. What you're telling the customer is you don't really want to talk their language. And one thing that we know for certain is if you want to get connected to people and be able to contribute to them, to be able to help them, to be able to get them to feel connected enough to tell you what's going on and describe the problem and help you generate a solution for them, then you need to make them feel at home. Remember, in every conversation, somebody is going to feel a little bit uncomfortable. And I'm just recommending that you volunteer for the position. Volunteer to be the one who's a little uncomfortable so the client is comfortable. All right. Since we're talking about listening context, and since we're talking about how people listen, this is a key lead-in to our exercise for this week. One other thing. What happens if you're, say, for example, at a sales appointment and you have two clients? For many of us real estate agents, brokers, we oftentimes have a husband and a wife. And so how do you do this if you have two people there? Simple. You treat them each like an individual. If the husband says, like, yeah, I'm excited about getting this house, then you talk that way to the husband. You go, this is going to be great. I'm excited to help you. And if the wife says, I just want a backyard where I can plant some flowers, you speak the wife's language and you say, great, we'll be sure to look for that. How big of a backyard would you like to have? And speak each of their language to them respectively. Now, it's going to feel weird to you. It feels a little crazy-making for you. The crazy part, though, is it will feel totally normal to them. When you leave, they're going to go, I really like that person. Wow, they were really great. And they won't know why. So consider in your life experience, you have met people, but you just instantly liked them. I don't know why. We just clicked. It was great. Like an old, long-lost friend. What happened? Well, their normal communication model, just the way they grew up, was similar to yours. They communicate similar to the way you communicate, and it feels natural to speak to them. And sometimes we meet somebody and think, oh, my God, get me out of here. Oh, get away, get away. Somebody is just instantly repelling. Why? Because their communication model is in conflict with yours. Maybe they're pushy. Maybe they're assumptive. Maybe they're spewing racial slurs that make you uncomfortable. Something about the way they're talking. It doesn't even need to get to the point of what they're talking about. Just the way they're talking can be very off-putting. So that's really our exercise for today. If, not even getting to the content, when we look at just the way in which people speak to us, that we judge them and we evaluate whether or not we want to be in a conversation with them based on the way they speak to us. Let me give an example. You're sitting at home about to have dinner. you're cooking dinner, perhaps, just putting it on the plate, on the table, and the phone rings. And you think, oh, I got a minute, no problem. Let me just see who that is real quick. And you pick up the phone, and somebody says, hello, homeowner, this is Fred Smith. By the way, I don't know Fred Smith. It's just my generic name I make up because I don't know a Fred Smith. They say, hey, this is Fred Smith, and I'm calling about MCI and our long-distance service. Let me tell you about the rates we have. And you go, no, pardon me, hold on. I'm just putting dinner on the table. This is not a good time. Can you come? It'll just take a moment. Hold on a second. So when you call Mexico and Canada, blah, blah, blah. So how do you feel about that person? Well, they're not in rapport with me. I answered the phone really friendly, and they kind of bulldozed me over. I said, hi, yeah, what's going on, right? Friendly. And they're like, hey, this is Fred. So they're demonstrating that they're not listening. And when I said, hey, this is really a bad time, they demonstrated again they weren't listening. And they also demonstrated that they were attached to a script because they kept reading even when I interrupted them, which illustrates they're in it for themselves. They're basically telling me they don't care about me. They're only trying to sell their stuff, which is exactly why I don't want to talk to them. So here's the question. Do you know people in your life? In fact, this is going to be true for most of the people that you know in your life. Do you know people that have some sort of something going on about them? Like when you're around them, you have to compensate some way. Wow, this person just never stops talking. Oh, man. They don't know that they just fill the space. I can't even get a word in edgewise because they don't stop talking. Maybe it's one of those. Or maybe you have a friend that complains all the time and they don't realize how negative they are, maybe. Maybe you have a friend that smokes cigarettes and you don't want to be within 5 feet of them because of the vapor trails, maybe. Maybe you have a friend that's hitting on you and it's unwelcomed, maybe. So my question for all of you is, what do you notice in some of the people around you and the way in which they communicate? You know, I know people that I really enjoy speaking with, and I know people that I don't so much enjoy speaking with. I know some that are a little pushy and a little aggressive or a little rude. I know some that interrupt so much it's difficult for me to talk to them. I know some that are assumptive and pushy and, you know, it's not really, they're not people that I'm excited about being in communication with. And the scary part is every opportunity is contained inside a relationship with another person. And every relationship with another person is nothing more than a series of conversations you're having with that person. And sometimes the conversations go well and illuminate opportunities. And sometimes the conversations don't go well, and you never find the nuggets of gold. So here's the question. What do other people think about you? What do other people think about how you show up for them? Are you the pushy one? Are you so, maybe you're really self-deprecating and you think it's humble and it makes some people uncomfortable. I don't know. Or maybe you have a thing for dirty jokes and it makes some people uncomfortable. So the question is, how do you show up for other people? What do other people think when you walk into the room? What do other people think when they leave a conversation with you? Do they feel better? Do they feel like, oh God, I got to go take a shower after that? Like, how do you leave people? And how are you received by others? Here's the question. If you think you're amazing and other people think you're obnoxious, are you amazing or are you obnoxious? And who gets to decide? The listener always gets to decide, always. And in the sales model, the listener is the customer. The customer always gets to decide if you're amazing or obnoxious. The listener gets to decide if you're brilliant or crazy. They get to decide. So the question is, do you have any existing already communication behaviors that are leaving a signature where you are? When you hang up from people, do they think, whew, I'm glad I got that guy off the phone? Or do they think, wow, that might be the best person, the nicest person, the best salesperson I've ever met? How are you showing up with people? If everyone thinks that you're an unethical business person, what would happen to your business? How would your business be affected? And you might be honest. You might be an ethical business person, yet the way in which you're communicating somehow leaves people questioning, like, what's going on with something's different about that person? Yet if everybody knows that you're honest and that you produce amazing results, look at the impact that has on your business. This is all the way in which we show up for people. So we're going to do an exercise right now. The exercise is called, it's a self-critique exercise. Self-critique. That means where you're learning some things about you. If you'd like to Google and get some more background and more information about the exercise, you can Google 360-degree review, the 360 review. The exercise goes like this. What you're going to do, this is your takeaway exercise for this week. My request is that you do like five of these. Like do one a day, one a business day, do five. If you really do them right and you really take your time and you really take it seriously, they should take you about 20 minutes apiece. So, you got an hour's worth of work between now and next week. What you're going to do is literally find five people in your life. Hopefully they're the various positions, like maybe a partner, a spouse, maybe a coworker, maybe a friend, maybe a client, right? Mix them all up. And what you're going to do is literally we're going to interview them about you. And the setup is very important. There's a few really key elements to make this work. And the goal of this interview process is for you to just find out candidly how you show up for other people. Somebody used to tell me that this is kind of like you have spinach in your teeth and you don't know it. Are your friends going to tell you? So that's what this exercise really is. So it goes like this. First of all, there's a very critical setup, and I'll model that for you right now. And you really have to honestly want the feedback. Part of this is you got to be open-minded. You have to know, like, what am I doing wrong? Why isn't that working? How do I show up for people? What do they think of me? Not from a neurotic sense, not from a narcissistic sense, but just out of a curious sense. I wonder how I showed up for those people. So the setup might sound something like this. This is written in your handout, yet this is really important. I'd like you to kind of feel it. So I might say something like this. Hey, Alex. You know that I'm totally committed to self-growth, and I realize that just like everybody, I have some blind spots, maybe some things that are obvious to other people, like maybe like having spinach in my teeth that I don't know but other people do. As someone that I trust, I'd like to ask your help. Would you be willing to let me interview you about your impressions of me so that I'll have some clarity about these issues? And Alex will say, of course I'll do that for you. And then, also very important, is I add, I promise this won't hurt my feelings at all, and it won't jeopardize our relationship at all. In fact, the more honest and direct and straightforward you are with me, the more you'll be helping me. So can I interview you? And Alex goes, yeah, of course. When they agree, here's the rules. When they agree, you have two rules. One, take notes. When they tell you anything negative, your ego is going to want to justify it and rationalize it and forget about it. So take notes. Number two is the only response you are allowed to give to their answers is, great, thank you. Is there anything else? So I've written down 7 questions here. You can add more if you like, if there's something pertinent, whatever. And so it sounds like this. I might say, Alex says, yeah, of course I'll interview you, no problem. And I say, great. So I always want to start, by the way, I did not write this in the notes. I'm asking you to pencil this in your notes right above where it says some potential questions. That little space right there, write in this. Write in, declare what you're committed to. Declare your commitment. I want that to be super clear. In mine, it's in the setup. I'm committed to self-growth. I'm committed to delivering an amazing workshop. I'm committed to helping people grow their business. I'm committed to, you know, being a top investor in California real estate. I'm right, whatever you're committed to. I'm committed to running a big franchise. I'm committed to growing a team that other people want to join, whatever. So make sure your commitment of what you're up to is in there so they have a framework. And then the 360 review, the interview process, might sound like this. All right, Alex, again, thank you very much for your time. You might want to reframe some of those issues. And question number 1, what do you see as my strengths? And then stop talking. Get your pencil ready, pen ready. And they're going to say whatever they see as your strengths. They're going to say, wow, you're a really great person. And I think you're really sharp and educated, and you're this, and you're that, and I appreciate this, and I appreciate that. They're going to rattle off a couple things, right? First question's always positive, always easy. They're going to rattle off a few things. And you're going to write notes. The only thing you're allowed to say is, great, thank you very much. Is there anything else? Yeah, well, you know, you're also good looking, and you're also whatever they say. Right? Just write it down. No response, no nothing, nothing. Just write them down. Great. Thank you. Is there anything else? Well, that's all I can think of for now. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Question number 2 is, what do you see as my weaknesses? And they, wow, I don't know. Let me think about that. And you just be quiet, be still, don't interrupt, let them stew as long as they need to stew. No matter what they say, again, you write notes. The only response you get is thank you. Thank you very much. Is there anything else? Keep asking until they say, nope, that's it. That's all I can think about. Perfect. Thank you very much. And if you think of more later, let me know. I'm open. Number 3, based on what I'm committed to, what works about who I am? Right? So this is the process. You just ask, write down their answers. Great. Thank you. Is there anything else? Oh, thank you for that one. Oh, that's a good one too. Great, thank you. Is there anything else? Nope, that's it. Great, next question. Based on what I'm committed to, what doesn't work about who I am? That's it. So these 7 questions, write down the answers. My request is that you run through at least 5 people to do this. And I want to give you 1 caveat about this. What you're looking for is some commonality. If you have one person that has something to say that nobody else had to say that, maybe you need to clean something up with that one person. Yet when all 5 people, or 10, or however many of these you do, when all the people say the same thing, right, that's your issue. I've had students do this work, and they find out, like, I had no idea people thought I was rude. I had no idea everybody thinks I'm pushy. So I really like doing this exercise up front, early in the curriculum, because if there's something going on with you, if you're pushy, if you interrupt people, if you don't speak up, whatever it is, whatever your issue is, I'd like to bring it to light before we start putting new tools in there. So I'd like you to have a good feel for who you are, what you're up to. And then I'd like to leave you with this last thing about the interview, and then we'll open up for questions here for the last 10 minutes. So my question is, what if you and only you were in charge of how all of your relationships evolved? The ones you wanted more of, you could make better. The ones that you were tired of, you could diminish them. What if the relationships, all of your relationships, were totally up to you? And what if you had the power to make every relationship one of friendship, trust, and mutual support? That's what we're talking about here. What would that do for your life, your business, your family, your social life, your ego? What would that do for your sense of happiness if you could have healthy relationships in all directions? Make no mistake about it, if you're in sales, you are a professional communicator, you are a professional problem solver, and you are a professional relationship builder. And the foundation upon which all of these things are sitting is you being in integrity, showing up when you say you're going to show up, do what you say you're going to do. That's it. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. You just need to build good relationships and be your word. All right. I have a little something to close with, but let's crack open for Q&A. Star 6 on your phone, say your name so everybody knows who you are, and hopefully they'll send you some referrals. And questions, comments, ahas, breakthroughs, oh my God, I'm lost, anything at all.
Hi, Joe.
Yes.
Hey, this is Jimmy.
Hi, Jimmy. Welcome.
I want to ask you regarding the five people that we need to interview. Is it okay if we interview a spouse?
Yes. Yeah, your spouse can be one of the people. And just simply keep in mind that that your spouse is going to have a slightly different opinion of you because you have a different relationship. So if you're wanting to, for example, grow your real estate business, Jimmy, I know you're a real estate agent. If you want to grow your real estate business, then yes, you should definitely interview your spouse, and you should also interview some past customers. You should also interview another real estate agent that's near you in your office that knows you. You should also maybe interview your broker, team leader, office manager, like that. And in this business, you might also want to interview your title officer, like the people that you are around all day in the business sense. And yes, interview your wife, interview your kids if they're old enough. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Yeah, don't interview a 5-year-old because they're going to say, you don't give me enough ice cream, right? That's not going to be helpful. Hey, yes, I heard a young lady's voice with a question.
Hi, it's Alexis. I just wanted to clarify that there are 3 questions total.
For the self-critique exercise?
Yes.
There are 7. I just read the first 3. They're on your handout. They're
okay.
On the, I think, last or next to last page. And they're, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? Based on what I'm committed to, what works about who I am? Based on what I'm committed to, what doesn't work about who I am? What does everybody know, or what do you know, that I can be counted on for? What does everyone, or what do you know, that I can't be counted on for? And then, is there anybody to whom you feel I owe an apology?
Okay.
And feel free, you can Google 360 review, and you'll find hundreds of other questions. So I think that these 7 are kind of the foundation. So add more if they feel pertinent for you.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah.
I think I missed the hand, though, so thank you.
Oh, you missed the hand? Oh, that's a problem. Okay.
But I'll work on that.
Perfect. Perfect. Cool. Anybody else? Are you excited to get started? By the way, Alexis is an appraiser in Northern California, so if you need appraisal services, she's my favorite appraiser. So track her down if you need appraisal services.
Thank you, Joel.
Yeah, you're
happy
welcome.
To help.
Questions, comments, ahas. Oh, my God, I'm lost. Oh, goodness, I'm so surprised. I'm so scared. I'm nervous. What have I gotten myself into? Anything like that.
This is Crystal Hardison. I'm from the Metro Detroit area.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi. I had a question on the Q&A part. Will that be recorded also?
The part that we're doing right now, yes.
Yes, okay. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. The my intention is to go to have these calls because, you know, I'm as you hopefully have found, I'm all about being my word. And so I'm pretty neurotic. Let me change that. I'm pretty passionate about starting on time and ending on time. So the calls are an hour. Sometimes they're 59 minutes. Sometimes they're an hour and 1 minute, but they're really close to an hour. And our recording service, if we go much over an hour, the recordings are really unwieldy. So, yeah, all this is recorded as well. Cool. Anybody else? Any ahas? What was your takeaway from today? What did you hear today that you thought, oh, man, I didn't think about it like that. That's new. Oh, goodness. Anybody have any interesting ahas that came up for you in this warm-up session?
Yeah, hi, Joel. This is Douglas.
Douglas, please.
Well, first of all, starting off with this 360-degree view, that's like jumping onto a rocket ship. I mean,
yeah, well, you missed this on the last time. You started late on the last round. You missed all this. So,
okay,
good.
Well, this is intense, and I'm going to take it on. I'm going to go to the people that I really need to go to make the biggest changes. But thank you for pulling me out of my comfort zone on day one.
Yeah. So one thing, I'm just going to talk about you for a moment. One thing that I appreciate, and I always can count on Douglas, and this, he's been in the class with me a couple of times, is, Douglas is fearless. The guy takes on every exercise. He does all the homework. He's quick to get out of his comfort zone, and he's had better and faster growth than, I don't know about anybody, but he's definitely been breaking records left and right, and it's because the dude's just fearless. So do the work, jump in, take these exercises on. I promise you'll have crazy breakthroughs too, just like Douglas. Cool. Thank you for that, Douglas. Anybody else? We just have a couple minutes left. Questions, comments? What was your biggest takeaway from today? Anybody else get something really awesome that like, wow, I'm excited about XYZ?
Hey, this is Jimmy. How are you?
Hey, Jimmy.
So, regarding the potential questions that, we should work on, what are you trying to for us to get out of this?
Good question. Thank you. It's my intention that you learn some things about yourself, about how you show up for other people. Because in sales, again, sales is a relationship business. And if people think that you're, and I'm not saying this is you, clearly not, but if people think that you're kind of a pushy jerk, you probably don't know that you're a pushy jerk. And so it's really helpful to learn and to feel the impressions that you make upon other people. Like, you could interview some people and they might say, you know what, you're just too passive. You know, like, I want somebody who's going to come in here and take control and sell my house, and you just don't sound very confident. Well, that would be good for you to know. Or everybody might say, you know what, you just interrupt me so many times, I feel like I'm frustrated talking to you because I feel like I never get heard. Or on what do you think that people can count on about me? And they go, I asked this with a friend of mine 6 months ago or so, and he said, dude, I can count on anything from you. He goes, when my other friend stood me up, he goes, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you drove 2 hours and picked me up when I got let out of prison. I can count on you for anything. And then I've had other people say, when they ask these questions, what can you count on me for? They go, you know what? You're an hour late for everything, man. I would really struggle working with you because you're an hour late for everything. That tells me you don't have your act together. So those are the kind of things I'm looking for. I want to find out, like, what people think of me. I mean, I think I'm a good guy, but what if everybody thinks I'm a jerk? I'd like to know that. Helpful? All right, we're top of the hour. I'm very excited about this group. We have several very high-end, very hot-shot, high-level real estate agents and brokers. It's always a blessing for me when I have people that are outside the real estate community. It adds a whole lot of depth and breadth and complexity to the call. So we have an appraiser. We have some franchise owners. We have a guy that sells packaging. So the fact that we have a few things outside our typical sales careers is going to give us a really nice piece of context and perspective. It's going to be awesome. Very excited about what we're up to. Go out and do some 360 reviews this week and come back ready to share those. And I'd like to leave you with one quick quote. It's two sentences long. It's a poem or a whatever that's called The Irony of Commitment. I'm asking you to commit to this training. Play full out, right? I already have your money. You might as well play full out. So the quote is that the irony of commitment is that commitment is deeply liberating in work, in play, and in love. The simple act of committing frees us from our internal critic, the one that likes to dress itself up and masquerade as rational hesitation. To commit is to remove your mind as the barrier to your life. And I'm asking you to commit, play full out. That means it's time for you to get uncomfortable. So that's it. Thank you all for being here. Keep your seatbelts on. Go do some exercises. Come back next week ready to share the ahas that you got from playing this game and doing these exercises. So thank you all, and we'll see you. Bye, everybody. Have an awesome week. Thanks for being here.
Bye. Thank you.
Yep, bye, everybody. Go get them. As usual, go make a difference in the world. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Joel.
Yep. Thanks, Alexis.